opinions expressed in this episode are personal. They do not necessarily reflect the views of this streaming platform.
Good day, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Let's Be Diverse. I am your host, Andrew Stout. This episode is dedicated to all my loved ones who have supported me through this journey. I'm so excited about this topic today. Our topic is sustainable success. And we're so lucky to have as a guest today, Jennifer Keeble. Jennifer is a remarkable force in the field of well-being transformation. As a corporate stress relief and well-being strategist, workshop facilitator, and speaker, Jennifer's expertise is extraordinary. In her transformation workshops, Jennifer doesn't just address stress, she transforms it into sustainable vitality, fostering workplace cultures where well-being isn't just a buzzword, but a guiding principle for lasting success. Jennifer seamlessly blends mindful techniques with business strategy, crafting an environment where employees thrive, productivity soars, and talent retention flourishes. Past participants and audience members have described Jennifer as real, relatable, captivating, passionate, warm, kick-ass, powerful, compelling, and inspiring. These are not just words. They're reflections of the authentic impact Jennifer has on those who experience her as a facilitator and speaker. I can speak for myself, having several conversations with her. Those buzzwords are absolutely buzzwords that I would definitely use to describe her. She's a sensational individual. We're so lucky to have her on today. Welcome to the show, Jennifer. Thank you so much for taking the time for us today.
What a beautiful welcoming. Thank you so much, Andrew, for having me here. Honestly, it's such a pleasure to be able to spend this time with you and the audience and really dive into a topic that we're both so passionate about. So I'm excited to see what unfolds today.
Absolutely. I'm excited to see what direction that it goes. I'm super passionate about this subject too, and I'm looking to see what dynamics and what stuff comes up. So for our audience, how are things with you? What's new? What's going on in your world? Give us the deets.
Yeah, the deets. Well, March, I mean, we're only 2 days in, and yet March is lined up to be actually my busiest month in business so far. There are so many incredible things on the table that I'm ramping up for. There is a conference happening here in my hometown, Calgary, Alberta, next Saturday. It's called LymphyCon, and it's a conference on everything to do with immunity. So I'm going to be one of the speakers speaking at that conference, and it's Stress Versus Immunity, the showdown that you don't want to miss. So I've got that happening. And then middle of October, I'm going to be a part of another conference. It's a 3-day conference, building up women in agriculture. There's going to be 300 to 400 women a part of this conference. So I'm very excited to be a part of that. I'm facilitating a workshop with the Financial Leadership Institute. There's just so many beautiful things happening this month, and I couldn't be more excited to be a part of all of those.
Wow, it sounds like you got like an action-packed month there. That's super fun. And the month is probably just going to fly by for you with all these exciting things happening. But that's super cool. I'm happy for you. You totally deserve it. I'm so excited for the guests to hear your thoughts and everything. You're just such a clear and convoyant and passionate speaker. I can just see it right away, and I'm sure people can see it right away as well. So super excited. And I'm glad to hear that everything is going well on your end. But before we begin, I always have a fun, thought-provoking question to ask my guests to get things going. Are you ready for yours?
Oh, I guess it depends on what it is.
Well, I always tell my guests there's no right or wrong answer. I love the thoughts that people come up with first thing in their mind. So
totally. Bring it on, Andrew.
So your question is, have you ever impulsively acted in a way that changed your life forever?
Impulsively acted in a way that changed my life forever. Hmm. You know, the first, it's interesting because I'm actually quite a thoughtful person. I put a lot of thought into the things that I'm doing typically before I act on it. However, the one instance that actually comes to my mind is just about maybe a year and a half ago-ish, I was at this women's conference and there was a speaker on stage. And at the time, I had a women's group. And I'm a big believer in holistic thriving, right? So looking at all aspects of your life. And I completely acknowledge the areas where I am not an expert. So for example, finances. Although I have very strong financial skills and I can guide people through that, I'm in no means an expert. Right. So this woman on stage, she was speaking about finances and really took a holistic approach to it. And the entire time I'm thinking, man, this woman is a powerhouse. I want her a part of my community. I want her to teach the women the parts that I can't. And so she finished her speech on stage and she's walking through the audience and I get up from the table. And this is like, you know, there's a room of probably 150, 200 women. And I just get up and jump up through the crowd and I run over to her and I give her a big hug and I let her know that I need to know her and she, you know, I need to be a part of her life and she needs to be in mine. And we exchanged contact information and now she is involved in my life and we partner, we collaborate, we share with each other. And it's really introduced me to another community that has really been transformative actually in building my business. So I think that's what I'm going with today, Andrew.
Wow. That is pretty cool. I have to say that when those things happen, it is amazing when you just click with somebody right from the get-go and you start working with them and you just, you know, they become not just collaborator, but also confidants, mm-hmm. sometimes even a friend. So it's nice to have that, to that person that you can just lean on to say, hey, you know, do you have a couple of minutes so I can, you know, I have this thought and I want to put it towards you and see what you're thinking. It's just nice to have that. So that's such a great story. I love that. I bet you didn't expect it to go to this depth that it did. So that's pretty cool.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And to what you said too, right? As a business owner, it can be a very lonely world. And so it's really important to be able to find those people who understand, who have been through that, maybe who are even a little bit farther along their journey so that they have that insight that you don't have yet. And that's what I really enjoy as well.
I'm a firm believer that somebody asked me this week if in me doing a podcast, they asked me if I felt like other podcasters were in competition with them or they were in competition with me. And I told them no. And I said, actually, in reality, I would actually collaborate with them and actually would work with them because I feel like there's so much opportunity in the world for everybody. I don't feel like we need to nitpick and cut people off and that. I feel like there's so much opportunity for everybody to succeed and perform. And why not work together? Why not collaborate together? Mm-hmm. Why not share ideas with each other? You're basically helping each other out. And that makes you even more successful along with others. So why not do that? So I'm a firm believer in that. And I love that you did that for sure. Thank you very much for your answer. I truly think that was great. You answered it pretty quickly on the fly without knowing what the question was going to be. So greatly appreciate that.
Of course.
Why don't we start off with you telling us a little bit about you, your story, and your why, Jen?
Yeah. Well, when we say a little bit, I hope that you're okay to get like submersed into the story because
I love it. I love it. Absolutely.
All right. So from the time that I was a little girl, it was always instilled in me that success is all about those outside metrics, right? Success is about, most importantly, the dollar figure that you bring in, the amount of money that you're able to save. It's about that job title, the status, the perceived importance by others, the responsibility. And so my entire life, actually from the time that I was 5 years old, I had my first, I'm going to do in quotations because nobody can see me right now, job. But way of bringing in money. I was delivering flyers to houses within my community, and I was too short to reach half of the mailboxes, right? So from a very young age, I was taught, you make money. You earn your way. This is part of creating your success. Well, this continued with me throughout my life, which in some ways, it was the most beautiful thing. But I kind of took it to that next level, actually, when I was in university. So when I was in university, it was my second year. I was 19 years old and I ran a painting franchise. And I was doing this while I was a full-time student, full-time over the summer and then kind of part-time hour, more than part-time hours during the school year. But anyway, we'll get into that. For me, when I first signed up to do this, right? I signed the papers as a franchise owner and I'm excited. And it's like, yeah, I freaking got this. And then as the days and the weeks slowly begin to settle in and everything becomes to get more serious, the fear became really heavy. Mm. I began to think, oh my God, what if I fail? Mm. What if everyone around me sees me fail at this? They're going to know that I'm a failure. Everyone is going to know. And so this became my motivating force, my driving factor that pushed me to put in insane hours. I was working 16-hour days, 6 days a week, until the one day I was on a job site, actually. My face goes numb, my body goes numb, then I begin to collapse to the ground. I was brought to the hospital. The doctors, the nurses, they ran a bunch of tests. I remember them saying to me eventually, they're like, Jennifer, we don't know why you're here. There's nothing wrong with you. And, you know, at the time it was just like, okay, well, listen to the professionals, right? They've got the experience. They got the education. They know best. There's nothing wrong with me. So I go home. But when I look back at my experience, I can't help but think where everybody went so wrong in that moment. You see, the doctors, the nurses, they didn't see any obvious medical reasons as to why this was happening. But they never asked me about what was going on in my life that may have contributed to this. My father at the time, he was pissed at me because a few weeks before, Andrew, you can see it, but nobody else can see. I have this little nose stud in my nose. I got that when I was 19 years old. And I grew up in a pretty strict house. My dad was very angry at me. Mm. He could not believe I had a piece of jewelry sticking through my face. And I knew he was mad at me, but he hadn't said anything to me until that day when he was sitting beside my hospital bed. And he was like, well, you know what, Jennifer? Maybe if you didn't have a piece of metal sticking through your face and body wouldn't be numb right now. Mm. My parents, the doctors, myself, none of us had the insight to sit down and say, you know what? Maybe 16-hour days, 6 days a week, it's just a little bit too much. So I carried on. I carried on my way, chasing this elusive version of success. And every time I met a goal, I would bump it up my goal, right? So my goal initially for the first summer was, I want to make $75,000 in 4 months, okay? First time as an entrepreneur. Those are pretty lofty freaking goals, if you ask me. But once I got to the 75, guess what? I bumped it up to 85. I didn't stop and celebrate, enjoy my success. It was like, nope, I'm short of my next goal. Get to 85, short of my next goal. So I'm going to fast forward now to 7 years ago, right? So from 19 to 7 years ago, I don't know how many years that is. But anyway, we're going to fast forward. And this time I'm a project manager for a general contractor, right? That idea of success, of running a really successful project, which means on time, on budget, a really happy customer, proving myself to the designers, to the consultants, to the engineers, to my own company, to everybody on the job was of uttermost importance to me. I gave everything to my job. And at the same time, I had two boys at home under 3 years of age. And so for any of you listening who have children, you know how much of our energy that they need, especially when they're young like that. And so my boys, they just pulled whatever was left in me. And I literally had nothing left to give. And I remember hearing this voice telling me, Jennifer, you need to start taking care of yourself. Jennifer, you need to start taking care of yourself. But then this louder, more dominant voice saying, yeah, well, you don't have time for that. Right. And so I listened to the self-care voice a little bit. I was like, yoga every couple of weeks, that'll take care of all the crazy hours of stress, right? Well, it was actually at an aerial yoga class, which was a beautiful thing. If you don't know what it is, I encourage you to look it up. But I was at the end of an aerial yoga class and I'm in Shavasana. I'm in this fabric that is hanging in a U from the ceiling and I'm cocooned by the fabric and there's this gentle sway to it. And I didn't realize, but looking back, I felt more safe, more at ease, more relaxed than I had in years. And because I had ignored everything for far too long, it all came bubbling to the surface and tears began to just stream down my face. I quickly realized I'm in a public setting filled with a room of strangers because I had gone by myself. So I wipe away the tears. I'm thankful that it's at the end of class. I only need to last a few more moments. And then I ran down to my car. When I got to the safety of my own car, it all, and I mean all, came pouring out. Things that I didn't think I was capable of saying, of feeling, of acting. It was all coming out. My entire life, my mental health, my optimistic point of view had always come so easy. It wasn't something I had to really try for. It was just, that's just who I was. And for the first time, I found myself in this really dark, heavy place. And that went on for some time. And I remember being too afraid to admit to anybody, to my mom, to my sister, my best friend, the doctor, that this was going on. Because again, I thought it would steal away from the success I had worked so hard to achieve. If I was feeling this way, if I was acting like this, how could I be a success? Successful people don't act like that. I know better now, but that's what I thought at the time. So I guess that is really the story that became my why. That is the story that became my why, because it is from that moment that I became so damn committed to finding a version of success that allowed me to thrive, a version of success that was actually sustainable and didn't cause me to burn out every X number of years. Because isn't success meant to feel good? And that story, that statement, that feeling, that is what drove me into my why.
Wow, there's so much stuff I want to pack into here. What an amazing story. First off, when you said, first thing I want to mention is when you said that you were worried about failing, that's something that I've dealt with in my past as well. And I've realized that if we are not innovative and creative, then we can't fail unless we're innovative and creative. In other words, we can't be afraid to try ideas. I come up with crazy ideas sometimes, but I no longer afraid to try them and tell people about them, because the worst thing I'm going to hear is no. And that's okay. I'm okay with hearing the word no, because that just means I need to move on to the next step and the next phase. So that's the first thing that resonated with me. The first thing that I want to say to you is, you know, what an amazing story. And it's amazing that you were able to find, after all of that, of everything that you went through, all the soul searching, all the mental health and everything, all you were probably looking for is just to find clarity in your why and why you were doing things and why you were wanting to work with people and why you were wanting to do certain things. So it's amazing that you figured that out. Yeah. You know, because some people, there's a lot of people out there, and I'm sure there's a lot of people that you work with, Jennifer, that have not figured it out, and absolutely, they need to figure it out. So it's amazing that you did. It's amazing that you are so innovative and creative now. I've heard you speak so many times, and from where you came from to where you are now, that story is simply amazing. So thank you very much for sharing that with us.
Thank you, Andrew.
You're very, very welcome. So let's get into the nuts and bolts of this stuff here. Let's get into the meat. Today we're talking about sustainable success. I want to know from you, what is sustainable success?
Yeah, I know it's a new term, right? I'm almost combining the term sustainability, which people usually refer to when it comes to environmental. But I want to bring that term into humans, right? We have this great focus around how can we create a sustainable world, a sustainable environment that will last for years and generations to come. What if you took that same mentality into your life? What if your actions, your everyday habits, the way you lived, allowed you to be sustainable, your happiness, your health, for long periods of time? So what is sustainable success? Sustainable success is a feeling that actually exists within you. It's when you create your own unique definition of success that allows you to truly thrive. Something that can be endured for, I would say, a good thing, let's say 3 or 5 years. If you can continue to follow this definition of success, this way of actually going through your everyday life for 3 to 5 years, and it feel good. The quality of your thoughts are there. They're lifting you up. That is sustainable success. It's not this short-term burnout, stressed out, reactive, you know, putting everything else on the side burner type of being or type of style.
I love that, because there's a lot of us out there. I will admit, in the past, it's been me, where you're good, you know, oh, this is, everything is going so well. My job is going well. I got this project that's going well. This is going well. That's going well. And then something happens and then it's not going well. And then you got to try to recoup and try to get back to being well again. So I could totally see sustainable success, 3 to 5 years of positive impact on the success that you're having could mean so much to your mental and well-being. Like you can just be like, okay, well, yeah, like I've been doing this. I can continue to go on this state of mind, and I can continue to be successful if I just keep doing what I'm doing. And you mentioned something earlier about, you know, I talk about this a lot, about celebrating the wins. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I think if we just celebrate those wins, even if they're small, that is going to help us with sustainable success, in my mind.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And yeah, it really does come down to allowing yourself to thrive, right? If you're chasing only one area for success, so often we're looking just at career success. Mm-hmm. And if career is your only part of your definition of success, I can tell you it's not going to be a sustainable.
No, we have to look at everything. We have to look at our jobs, our careers, our family, what we're doing in our free time. Those are things that are going to help us to have sustainable success. Absolutely. So that kind of leads me into my next question here is, how do we measure sustainable success?
You know, there's so many different ways that you can measure. But when you ask me that question, the very first thing that comes to mind is actually the quality of your thoughts. So you are the only person, I'll say this. You're the only person that can really measure that, because nobody else knows the quality of thoughts or what's actually happening there. Some people are really good at masking it, but usually when we get to that stage of carrying stress for prolonged periods of time, we're close to, you know, going on a mental health leave, a stress leave, maybe being burnt out. Oftentimes it almost becomes impossible to mask it at that point, and your loved ones can begin to see it, right? So you're reactive to them in moments where it doesn't necessarily deserve it. You know, you're less social, you're hiding out, you're not taking care of your body, your health. So there's other symptoms that can happen. Oftentimes we'll give up working out if that's something we previously enjoyed. We'll give up eating healthy if we previously enjoyed that. We'll give up our social activities. But I would say the very first number one determining factor is the quality of your thoughts.
And I love that, because I feel like I am somebody who will send a message to somebody and, you know, that I haven't spoken to in a bit. And I say to them, hey, just want to check in, see how you're doing. Mm-hmm. And you get that response sometimes where, yes, you know, you get the response, oh, things are great. Well, what have you. And then there's those times where you go, you know what, I'll be really honest with you, Andrew. Thank you for checking in with me. You know, things are not going that great at this time. And so when you say the quality of our thoughts, we don't know that. So let's say in a work setting, if you could be walking around and you could be like, oh, you know, how things are good, or you can act that things are good. But, you know, if you have like, I always talk about check-ins, especially with leadership. And if a leader actually comes up to you, you know, to their coworker and does a quick, you know, check-in, how's everything going? How are you doing? Have you taken a break today? Have you had lunch today? Have you, you know, how's the project going? You know, you will get those times where they're going, oh yeah, things are great. I had a great lunch today, what have you. But there will be those times where it'll be like, you know what, thanks for asking. I really appreciate that. Are you asking? It's not. Or you're going to get those times where they're just going to be like distraught and be like, oh my God, like somebody's actually in there. Because in their mind, they're thinking somebody is actually asking how I'm doing. Right. And you will, and so in some cases, people will just break down. And then you're like, oh my God, what's wrong? But nobody's asked them that. So they're, you know, that first impression of like, oh my God, someone cares.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I would say, you know, for you leaders and managers and out there, sitting down to ask those questions that you just said, Andrew, where it's like, have you taken a break today? You know, what have you done for you today? Mm-hmm. Showing them and reminding them that you care for them as a human being and not just as an employee is huge for how much that person is going to continue to show up for you and the projects that are part of your team even more so. But also it creates that culture of sustainable success, because now you as a human being matter and not just the work you do. Absolutely. That helps create that sustainability in teams for sure.
Mm-hmm. So I know we might have delved into it, but I want to kind of go a little bit deeper in this, Jennifer. So what are some of the biggest challenges that you have seen or that you think people will have when it comes to sustainable success?
Yeah, there's so many. So many. You know, first of all, this culture that we have in North America. And I'm starting to see a little bit of a shift, which I'm so thankful and grateful for. However, there's still so far to come. This culture that, you know, the hustle bustle, there's also almost this invisible reward system that we're almost competing with each other for, to see who's the busiest, who's worked the longest hours, who's achieved more, who's done more. It is so toxic. And I'm not saying if you are, you're like, oh God, that's me. I'm not saying that you're a bad person, because you're not. Because guess what? I've been there too. Mm-hmm. It's so easy to fall into, because that's what society, everything around us teaches, right? It's like, oh, if you're to matter, you got to do this. You got to do more. Whether it's doing more as a mother, how many activities do you have your kids in? You know, how many different places and days of the week and times are you driving them to? Or, you know, you're an employee. How many projects are you saying yes to? How many projects are you managing? Right? So the challenge is that it's everywhere around us, and that we also in this society have been taught that if we are going to succeed, right, that we need to be saying yes. We need to be taking on those projects. We need to be doing more. We can't disappoint our managers, our supervisors, the directors. We can't say no. We're people pleasers. Right? The vast majority of people out there are people pleasers. They're already stressed to the max. And their manager walks in their office, and I've been there, so I speak from experience. Hey, Jennifer, I need to take on another project. Can you do this one for me? Oh, yeah, no problem. Right? So that inability to set clear, consistent boundaries, mm-hmm. That's a different conversation for another day. But that doesn't have to mean that you're going to get fired. Right? It can be willing to say, I really want to see that project succeed. And I also have these other projects. How can we talk to make sure all of them are a success? So what else is part of the challenge is the managers, the leadership team. There's some incredible managers and leaders out there. And there's some that are still working on their way. Right. And for those ones that are working on their way, I would say it's really important to check in, truly check in. You know, how does the amount of work that you have right now feel? Are you having to put in crazy amounts of hours to be able to get this done? And having those real genuine conversations before you ask if they can take more on. Mm-hmm. So part of the problem is, I think, and that also leads into these cultures of, we need to separate work life from personal life, right? Manager being like, oh, no, we're not going to talk about that right now. We're not going to talk about their personal life, because I don't want it to bring things down here. I'm sorry to say, but you're lying to yourself, because that human you're talking about, they're a human in the office and at home. And when they walk through the office doors they don't just drop their personal problems behind. Mm. We're not robots. We all wish, we all try, but it just doesn't work that way. We have beating hearts. So to say, let's just forget about it, you're not actually helping your employees, and you're not actually helping your company either. So get curious, ask how you can support them. What do they need so that they can show up most effectively, personally and professionally, right? Provide those ongoing resources. You know, oftentimes I see a lot of companies that care these days. So they're offering, let's say, like $10,000 in mental health for their benefits per year. That's beautiful. However, what I also see is a lot of those individuals haven't been shown in their working environment that they have the time to go do those things.
Right.
So create that culture. As a leader, show them how important self-care is. Because if you are working yourself to the bone, guess what? You're leading by example. So the challenge is, if you're an employee, how do I do things any different than my employer or my leader? Obviously, that's what they expect. That's what they're doing. So the challenge is, how do I rise above that if that's not being supported?
So I talked about this on another episode a few weeks back. And one of the things I think that we forget when we're a leader is that, or leaders, is that we learn leadership at a very young age. So I remember, I said this a couple of weeks back, I'm going to say it again. I'm going to date myself, but I remember playing the game Follow the Leader when I was a kid. I learned leadership at a young age. And we forget that. I learned leadership in kindergarten. I learned leadership in elementary school, in high school, playing sports. I learned leadership and what it means to be a leader. Very, very young. But at times I forgot about it. Now I remember it. So I really feel like it's super important. You talk about salary, and I mentioned you earlier when you're talking about your story, you're talking about that you always wanted to get to that high level of salary. You got made $75,000. You want to make $85,000. I talked to a lot of people, and salary is important. We need to put food on the table, but it's not the most important thing. We need to know if does a company have an anti-bullying policy. What's their values, mission, and vision? Do they care about their employees? Do they do regular check-ins? What are my clear expectations of my job right from day one? These are things that are super important to people. Yes, you can have all the money in the world, but if you're not happy in your job, you can have millions and millions of dollars and you can still not be happy. I've talked to people who make that money and are not happy. So, and you mentioned, you know, you can't balance work and personal life. I totally agree with you. A lot of people use the workplace work-life balance. I don't use that anymore. I the words I use are workplace harmony, because the two go together. You can't separate the two. It's impossible. And leaders have to understand that, and they have to be real with that. And you have to, like you said, check it. Like I said earlier, check-ins. You know, if there's something going on with your employee, or if you see that they're a regular, bubbly individual, and that one day they come in and they just seem distraught, well, don't just keep piling up work on them. Bring them in and check on them and say, hey, I see that you're just not yourself today. Is there I don't want to be nosy or don't want to be pushy, but is there something that I can help you out with? Because you just don't seem yourself today. And I can tell you, it's going to move mountains for people when they see people care about them. It's going to mean so much more to them.
Right.
They're going to run through a wall for that person when stuff comes up. So I love everything that you packed in there. It's super important and super vital that people realize all of these things for sure.
Well, and to what you were just saying, Andrew, you know, you talked about the salary piece and that's not everything. You know, if I were to expand on my story earlier, you know, the part that I would have added in is that, you know, when I was working my one job, when I had burnt out for the last time 7 years ago, I was making more money than I thought I would ever make in my career. And I was the least happy I had ever been, right? So many of us were chasing this elusive financial version of success, thinking that that's going to be the answer to our prayers, that life is going to be grand and it's going to be everything we wanted. Mm-hmm. Well, it's not the truth. Mm-hmm. And a very prime example of that is you look at, you know, some of the famous people that we know that we cared about, right? Like Robin Williams,
right.
What a beautiful soul.
Yeah.
Right? He had millions and millions and millions of dollars, a life that so many people would have dreamed of. And I bet that he used to dream of. And guess what? He still took his own life. Right. Because financial success does not equate to happiness, to fulfillment, to joy. Mm-hmm. So let's create a version of success that does.
Mm. So you kind of mentioned it earlier, but you know, through your experience and through talking to people, what do you think the future looks like for sustainable success?
Well, I'm an optimistic person, and so I'm going to bring a little optimism in here. You know, I have been seeing a shift over the last, you know, 10 years, but especially the last 3 years. COVID, although incredibly hard for a lot of people, there are a few positives that have come out of it. And I would say that this is one of them. So many people were forced to take a step back. And so many people realized what they've been missing out on, right? That quality time with their children, their partners, whoever else it is around them that they love most. They rediscovered maybe some hobbies that they haven't done in years, sat down and read that book that fills them with joy. So there's a lot of good things that came from it. And they began to have different expectations when it comes to the workplace, because the workplace before said, you need to have your bum in seat in the office in order for you to be productive. And then all of a sudden we were all forced to find a different way to make it work. Right. So when you talked about creativity earlier, it's like, yeah, we were forced to be creative. Right. And guess what? In some instances, we discovered that we're actually more productive at home. Some individuals, not all. So the idea is, though, is that a lot more companies are more flexible. Employees are demanding more work-life balance. And the employers who are big thinkers, they are implementing this into how they run their businesses. And more businesses are integrating this. I see it. It's like this beautiful trend that's happening. So I only see that trend continuing to build amongst more organizations and become more of an expectation versus an exception the way that it is now.
I think I agree with you 100%. I think people are understanding what's important. To go to the point where I think I talk to a lot of recruiters, and recruiters are saying that they're seeing a shift in this, because people, when they're going to apply, when they're looking at jobs, you know, the last thing that they want to do when they're working with a recruiter is have to contact that recruiter 6-8 months down the road, because the job that they were working with on the recruiter they applied for just wasn't a fit. So they're asking more and more questions regarding these companies that they're applying for, so that, and then the recruiter doesn't have that extra work of like, oh, Jennifer, I just spoke to you like eight months ago. How, what, you know, was everything like, what happened? Like, I thought everything was good where you were going now, you know? And so they don't want that. So they're making sure that, you know, people are, you know, if you're happy with where you are, great. If you're not, then yeah, let's find you something that you're going to enjoy. And let's not give you something, a position that, you know, if you were doing a job and there's 5 or 6 tasks that you hated doing, well, I'm not going to find you a job that is going to have those tasks that you didn't like doing. I'm going to find you something that of tasks that you enjoy to do, so that you were enjoying going to work every day and not waking up in the morning going, oh my God, I got to go to that place again today. It's super, you know, you don't want to be, I'll be honest, I've had that feeling, you know, and it's not fun, or you don't want to, you know, you're like, oh my God, I got to go in there today. And I hate it. I don't want to go in there. Who wants to be in that setting? I don't.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Jennifer, this has been such a great conversation. I've totally enjoyed it. What I want to know from you, you're just such a clear speaker, and I just love the way you present yourself. How do you think your hometown or city molded you into the individual that you are today?
What an interesting question. Well, I think of two aspects right away. So the first aspect that I think of is I'm in the hometown of the Calgary Stampede, right? Like, yeehaw! Because that's what we do for 10 days every year, the beginning of July. This international show, the Calgary Stampede, comes to our city. And for 10 days, our entire city lights up. There are free Stampede pancake breakfasts and barbecues and parties, and everybody is in their cowboy boots and their cowboy hats and having a good time, and everybody's friends, whether you know each other or not. And that is so much fun. Like, I've been here my entire life and I don't get sick of it, because it's just like this beautiful community feeling that's just, it's fun. Right. But then almost on the opposite spectrum, for those of you not familiar with Calgary, we're an hour away from the Rocky Mountains. And I love the Rocky Mountains. Mm-hmm. They are my happy place. They are what keeps me grounded, helps connect me with myself. I have had the greatest insight, the most profound conversations, the greatest joy when I am hiking through the Rocky Mountains. And so with them being so close to my home city, they've had a massive impact on who I am as an individual and the type of adventures that I get to go on. In the last couple of years, I've been really diving into sunrise and sunset hikes, which, oh, they're killer. They just light me up. You can just see me like vibrating over here. I'm so excited.
Well, I can definitely hear it in your voice, and I can see, and talking to you all the times, the conversations that we had, I can definitely see when you talk about living in a city where it has events that, and it just lights you up. I could just hear the light up in your voice, mm-hmm. and the excitement. And I could see that in all the stuff that you do, not just professionally, but personally as well. So mm-hmm. I could just see the excitement that it gives you. And that just tells a story of who Jennifer is and what makes her click, which is perfect, which is amazing to me.
Thank you. I really appreciate that, Andrew.
You're very welcome. Any final thoughts today?
Well, I mean, I always have so many thoughts. But I guess I would just share this, right? If you're listening to this and you've been feeling run down, you've been hearing that little voice, hey, maybe you need to start doing something different. Maybe you need to start taking care of yourself. I really just encourage you to start taking that voice seriously, mm-hmm. because that voice right now might be a whisper, but if you continue to ignore it for too long, it's either going to yell at you or it's going to take you down so that you no longer have a choice to deal with it. Kind of like it did with me when I burned out those two times. So please listen to it. You are so worth it.
I love those words. Jennifer, I want to tell you, I want to thank you for coming on today. I had an imagination of how this conversation was going to go, and it has gone exponentially better than what I expected. It was such an entertaining, thought-provoking conversation that just flowed so nicely. And I was excited to have you part of this conversation. And I'm so excited that you're here, and I'm excited that you were part of it. So thank you very, very much.
Well, thank you, Andrew. Honestly, it's been such a pleasure being able to get to know you and how you serve everyone, and being able to be a part of this together and serve those people in a different aspect as well. Thank you.
You're very, very welcome. On behalf of myself and my guest, Jennifer, I'd like to thank you all for listening today. And until next time, be safe. And remember, everyone, if we all work together, we can accomplish anything.
You have been listening to Let's Be Diverse with Andrew Stout. To stay up to date with future content, hit subscribe.